Let's Go to the Movies, an award season podcast. Welcome to Season 5, Episode 8. On today's episode, I will be discussing The Color Purple and American Fiction. Let's jump right in. First on today's episode is The Color Purple, directed by Blitz Bazawule. Rotten Tomatoes score of 82% and a Letterboxd rating of 3.6 stars. So this director also has done a few previous things. Black is King and The Burial of Kojo are his two more notable things. The plot of this movie is that it's following a woman through her life as she's struggling through being separated from her children, her sister. She's suffering under the abuse of her husband and just kind of how she comes back from all of that and finds her empowerment. It's based on the stage musical, which originally ran from 2005 to 2008, and then it had its revival run from 2015 to 2017. So that musical was based on the 1982 novel by Alice Walker. This is the second film adaptation, which the first was from the 1985 movie directed by Steven Spielberg, also, of course, based on the novel. Spielberg and Quincy Jones were producers on the original film. They return as producers on this adaptation. And the Broadway producers are also part of this current project, Scott Sanders and Oprah Winfrey. Fantasia and Danielle Brooks both also starred in the Broadway show in 2010 and 2015, respectively. So there's a lot of intermingling of people being in originals, remakes, very much Mean Girls vibes of the newest Mean Girls, if you are familiar with that book, movie based on the book. Broadway show based on the movie, new movie based on the Broadway show, which is based on the movie, which is based on the book. So a little convoluted, but there we are. I'm not familiar with the musical, but I did read 13 songs from the original musical were actually cut from this film. So they did kind of consolidate there. This project was reported to be in development in 2018. In August 2020, the screenwriter Marcus Gardley was announced, as well as Blitz Bazawule as the director. Between August 2021 and April 2022, the cast was filled out, and then filming did begin in March 2022, with production taking place in Jekyll Island, Savannah, Georgia, kind of locations around that area. Filming wrapped in July 2022. Something interesting that I was reading about, there were apparently a lot of allegations being reported to the New York Times of unfair pay and working conditions not being ideal, including limited dressing rooms for the cast, having the cast members have to drive themselves to set, a lack of food being available on set, just things that seem kind of weird for the time that we're in. And it was reported that all of these issues were flagged to Oprah, who then came in and helped kind of sort everything out. At the time, there was concern that all of that was going to kind of overshadow the movie itself. I will say that I didn't remember hearing about anything super directly in regards to all this, so I guess that concern may not have been fully realized, but still interesting nonetheless to read that. The movie did premiere in London, November 20th, 2023, and then in the U.S. on Christmas, 2023. It was originally set to be released on December 20th, but it switched release dates with Aquaman sequel. And then it was released digitally on January 16th, 2024, began streaming on HBO Max on February 16th, 2024. It was actually considered a box office bomb, according to the internet, which what feels like everything kind of is these days, so I wasn't too surprised by that. But it was also interesting to read that despite that, it was the highest grossing domestic opening day for a musical since the pandemic. So that's kind of cool. Going into this movie, I had a vague memory of the original film, like from seeing part of it as a child, I guess. But I really had no major expectations apart from that. I did miss the memo totally that this was a musical. I was tipped off by a friend. I do have to say, though, that like this misleading marketing of musicals to make them not seem like musicals is getting a little annoying to me. This happened not only with this film, it happened with Mean Girls. I'd even go as far as say it was like happening with Wonka. Like, I don't like feeling tricked into seeing a movie, and that's kind of what this feels like, this tactic that's being used, which in itself is weird because, as I just read to you, this was the highest grossing opening day for a musical since the pandemic, so it's not like musicals are falling out of favor. Like, there is an audience for it. Like, just be open about it. I don't understand. I just don't know, like, who in Hollywood is creating this narrative that people don't like musicals. I feel very confused about the attitude towards it. And, like, this one comes out of the gate as a musical. So, it feels, overall, had the feeling that this was more of a musical. So, it's just, like, double confusing to me why it wasn't emphasized as much. On that note, as I was mentioning, it does have the strong feelings of being a musical. It feels like it's a musical being filmed as a movie versus a movie with musical elements to it. Like, it felt very, very, like, musically staged. I think because of that, though, I had a hard time fully connecting to the story. Because I'm not as familiar with the music, I'm not connected to it in that way. But overall, it was a solid movie. The acting carries this film fully, in my opinion. That's the standout, I think. Fantasia was great. I think she carries this film, really. This is her feature film debut, actually, and I actually didn't even realize that. Like, I had to look it up because I couldn't even confirm for sure. Just because she has been prominent, like, on American Idol and such, and I know she had, like, a TV movie, so just a few things that I knew she had done. But I'm sure that the material being so familiar to her, since she was part of the stage production, lent itself to her overall performance. Like, she has to handle grief, oppression, loneliness, joy, self-discovery, empowerment. Like, there's a lot of things that she's tackling the span of a lifetime of this character, really. So I definitely was impressed with her. I haven't really seen her do much in a while, so it was cool to kind of see her again. Danielle Brooks also plays a strong character. You kind of watch this character get whittled away as the years go on, which is sad, but it's just kind of the plight of that character. She's strong and confident, and she is a powerhouse in every scene that she's in. But then I think watching her with this evolution of how society is just wearing her down really is sad. And kind of just what happens to people, like, you try to be this force and this powerhouse and you just get kind of knocked down. But on the flip side of that, it was empowering to see how all the women from all these different scenarios were able to kind of help each other through these stages of their lives, and they're there for each other, they're supportive of each other. So it did have a strong element for that storyline, which I appreciated. The music was decent. To be honest with you, like, I didn't feel blown away by it. Like, it just felt very stage show, and it felt like unnecessary exposition. Just kind of one of those things where, I guess, if you aren't familiar with it, you're not really hooked into it. Like, you might be with being a fan of the stage production. The staging of the musical numbers, however, was well shot. I did like how some of the scenes would sort of fade into the musical numbers. Like, there was one towards the beginning where she, Silly's character as a younger girl is, like, looking at the reflection in a mirror, and she starts to see the musical number playing out through that reflection, and then it kind of transitions into it with her singing. So I thought that was kind of cool. Like, they did stage all of that really well. But I didn't really like this element of the background singers just kind of being completely random people who kind of appeared out of nowhere. That obviously works in a stage show. I have a hard time with that in movie musicals, because I feel like those people should have some sort of purpose, and it feels like they just kind of appeared out of nowhere. But that could just be a me thing. That's not like a complete knock on the movie. That's just a thing that kind of irked me, I guess. There was a Whoopi Goldberg cameo at the beginning, which was also kind of cool nod to the original, especially since so many people that were part of the original were involved with this. So that was cool. But yeah, this movie has gained, I would say, minimal attention during award season. Like, it's gotten some nominations at some of the other major shows, like for the Globes, it was nominated for Best Actress, Best Supporting Actress. For the SAGs, it was nominated for Cast and Supporting Actress. Critics' Choice, Acting Award, Acting Nominations, Costumes, Hair and Makeup, Picture. Very, very little attention at the Oscars, though. It's only nominated for Best Supporting Actress. So the only really surprise for me with that is Fantasia was a really strong performance. It would have been cool if she had been nominated. But in general, I think that the reflection of what it's being recognized for holds up. But yeah, it is a good movie. Like I said, didn't really blow me away overall, but it is a solid watch. Solid story. If you have any connection to the original or you like the stage show, you'll probably like it. It is still streaming on HBO Max, so easily accessible at this point. That is The Color Purple. Moving right into our next film, American Fiction, directed by Cord Jefferson, has a Rotten Tomatoes score of 94% and a Letterboxd rating of 3.7 stars. This is actually Jefferson's featured directorial debut, which is super awesome for him. He has done some pretty prominent work on television things. Two things that I noted, he was a writer, story editor, co-producer of The Good Place, which is pretty cool because I actually just binged that show, like, unknowingly. he was also a consultant on Succession, so some pretty prominent things he's been part of, so pretty cool for him to get this feature debut. So the plot of this movie is that it's about a writer who is dismayed to realize that society is only interested in black authors who write about black stories that white society is expecting from them. And he writes a novel as a joke, which ends up reaching mass acclaim. It's based on the 2001 novel Erasure by Percival Everett. It was reported in November 2022 that Jeffrey Wright would be starring in this film, with Cord Jefferson adapting the screenplay and directing. Filming occurred also at the end of 2022 in Boston, and then MGM's Orion acquired the distribution rights in December 2022. It's the first film from Orion to be distributed through Amazon MGM Studios distribution, so pretty notable there. Premiered at the Toronto Film Festival on September 8th, 2023. There's a limited theatrical release on December 15th, and then a wide release occurred December 22nd, 2023. It is still available in a few theaters if you wanted to catch it on the big screen. It's available digitally to purchase as of February 6th, and it's likely going to end up on MGM Plus, which I personally don't know anyone that has that app. So if you do, look out for it. Otherwise, you'll have to rent it or purchase it. So I had a general idea of this movie's storyline, and I was intrigued by it. But I have to admit that after having watched it, I am left feeling a little unsure if I actually enjoyed it or not. It's been kind of this weird question mark in my head. Like, I can't quite place my thoughts on it. And I don't know if that means it succeeded or if that's just, like, me not being able to connect to this movie in the way that I should be able to. I enjoyed watching it, so don't get me wrong there. Like, I did enjoy watching it. It's a well-done movie. I'm just feeling like I said, I feel like I'm just being left with a question mark. So I'm going to try to process that out a little bit with this discussion. I know that the main idea of this story is that it's a satire on society and the expectation of, like, the white, elite, liberal portion of society and how they perceive black culture and black media. It had me wondering, like, was I expecting to see something in this movie that I didn't? And that's why I feel confused. Is that the whole point of the movie storyline? Like, expecting something and not getting it? Like, am I just, like, feeding into the joke? Did I not connect with it because I'm actually a white person in society? That's the questions I've been toying with. it is this strong satire, of course. It makes me also wonder, were the Academy voters in on this? Like, or are they just like, oh, how funny, that's not us? Like, that's another question that I have. Like, because of a lot of the things that they poked at are things that actually occur in Hollywood, especially like with the Oscars, like diversity in judgments of stuff, like the panel that they had in the movie judging all the different books. They were touting how they were more diverse this year because they brought on two African-American writers. And, like, obviously that was the whole thing with the Oscars. Like, the angle of, like, pandering to a particular segmentation of society. Like, that's something that happens with the Oscars, with the movies. Like, the fact that his novel that he wrote as a joke, because he knew it would be pandering to these people, was awarded something. Like, that feels like award season in a nutshell, almost. It was just very interesting. I couldn't think of another movie that had done anything like that. I did think the balance of the family storyline and the storyline with him writing the book felt a little off to me. I don't know if I was expecting just more. Maybe it was because I was expecting more about him writing this book and less about anything else going on. And so I guess seeing that there was more of this family storyline kind of threw me off. But at the same time, the family storyline did just show kind of some, like, normal family dynamics occurring, which kind of punctuated the point that not all of these Black creators have these dramatic lives and stories to draw inspiration from, nor do they necessarily want to draw inspiration from them. Which was kind of like a plot point in the movie, because, like, the fake book he writes is just really dramatic with, like, gang activity, drugs, shootings, like, you know, like all these things that would be really dramatic. And his life, while it had its drama, was not in that realm of drama. It was just more day to day, like, mom needs care, our sister passed away, I'm trying to balance budgets and money, and my brother has a drug problem, and I'm also trying to work on my personal life with my dating and stuff. You know, like, it was just things that were, like, a different level of dramatic. On that flip side of that, though, I think it was nice that this was a story that kind of emphasized just these day-to-day family dynamic struggles. It wasn't trying to be something, like, it was something that is relatable to all people, I think. And I think that kind of further punctuates the point that the main character was trying to make in writing his fake novel. Just to say, like, why can't I be respected for what I want to write, for who I am? Like, why do I have to mold into this other version of who society wants me to be a successful writer? So it's obviously a very interesting conversation. I think the casting was top-notch, just across the board. Sterling K. Brown, in my head, can't do anything poorly. Like, he's great in all the roles he's in. And this was definitely a different kind of vibe from him, for being so familiar of him from This Is Us. Just a total flip, which is probably why it stood out so much. And he was just kind of, like, on another level, really. Jeffrey Wright has a very soothing sort of voice. It's a voice that I could hear narrating, like, a book, or narrating, like, a ride at Disney World or something. Like, it's that type of strong narrative-sounding voice. It was an interesting demeanor for this role. And I feel like they could have gone a few different ways with it, but I think the way that they went with him worked really well. Because you could tell he was outraged and disgusted by the things going on with, like, the writing and the society and stuff. But he was also just, like, very relatable guy trying to manage his family life. And so I think it worked really well. Because it was also very believable. And you could connect to him because of that believability. Adam Brody made me laugh being in this because I actually didn't realize he was in it. And being a millennial, Adam Brody has been prominent in my life since the early 2000s. Is that how Hollywood really is? Because I'd believe it if so, like that, like the way he portrayed it and just kind of like it just only interested in like how, what kind of money is this going to make me? I did enjoy, well, take that back. I'm trying to decide if I enjoyed the ending. It ended with like three different variations of an ending playing out, which obviously, of course, was playing into the satire aspect of the story. It was very meta. It's kind of an interesting way to approach it. Like, it was honestly kind of appeasing all the viewers seeing an ending that they might prefer. The ending where he gets shot on stage, of course, being the most dramatic, but to me, the most direct resolution to the satire of it all. Just kind of the culmination of what that lie, writing this fake book under a pseudonym, led to. But also kind of on the flip side of like, well, this is what society drove him to. So like, look what they did to him kind of thing. I think that that was a very interesting approach. Because I also think it kind of showed that they weren't taking it too seriously. Like, they're in on it, you know? So, yeah. This is nominated for 5 Oscars. Best Picture, Best Actor, Best Supporting Actor, Best Adapted Screenplay, and Best Original Score. The score, I do think, was really solid. It kind of had, like, a jazzy bookshop cafe vibe to it. I did enjoy it. My husband watched this with me. He did laugh out loud at a few things, which he hardly does. He thinks that this movie was something that he related to because that's kind of how he feels watching award shows and such and like seeing how Hollywood reacts to things. He always thinks like, why are they putting on this show? Like, who are they trying to kid kind of thing. So I think he related to it a little more than I did from that angle. But yeah, I think this one's kind of going to be fighting in my head for a little bit, trying to really nail down my thoughts on it. It's like, to be perfectly honest, I didn't even know what I wanted to rate it on Letterboxd, and I usually have a pretty clear idea right away of, like, my initial thoughts to a movie. And that's why this one gave me pause, because I was just like, huh, like, what did I really think? And I don't know if it's even one I would want to rewatch. I just feel like I want to unpack it a lot more. So I guess that is the makings of a good film, right? Like, you're just, it makes you think, it changes the way you're thinking about something. So I will say that it did succeed in that. Just from the overall film perspective of it, like, it's just well shot. There was nothing super, super standout to me from, like, the cinematography, like, DP perspective. Like, I did enjoy it, but, like, the actual filming aspect of it is not what is sticking with me. It's more just this story and how these characters delivered this story. So, yes, I will continue to process this one on my end. It is a solid movie. It is worth watching, I think, especially if you are kind of wrapped up in this award show stuff at all. Like, or, you know, you have an interest in diversity and like writers, you know, it kind of raises some of those questions that I feel like get addressed. So, yeah, I would say it's worth a watch for sure. Again, it is still in theaters, a few theaters, but it's still there if you want to try to catch it. Otherwise, it's going to be on MGM Plus when it drops eventually, and you can catch it video on demand until then. And that is American Fiction. On the next episode, I will be discussing The Zone of Interest and Society of the Snow. These are my last two that I think I'm going to be able to fit in before the Oscars. And then we are just less than a week away from the show, so we'll be doing a recap episode, kind of regroup on what my ballot choices are, and then we are off to the races.
Thank you for listening today and for joining me on yet another trip to the movies.